Okay. All right. Welcome to the Thursday night shiur for Parshas Kisetze. This sedra is a very busy, active sedra. If you ever just mute, that would be helpful. Get rid of background noise. Mute. Parshas Kisetze, as I say, is a very busy sedra. It has more mitzvahs in it than any other single sedra in the whole Chumash, according to the count of the Sefer Chinuch. Mentioned many times in the past, I think there are 74 mitzvahs of the 613 that appear here in Parshas Kisetze. What I'd like to talk about this evening is something that was only tangentially related to Parshas Kisetze. It's regarding a din that appears in Perakov Gimel, or in Perakov Gimel, Pasuk Yud Tes, where the Torah states, Lo Sovi Esnan Zona Umechir Kelev Beis Hashem Elokecha Lechol Neder Kisovas Hashem Elokecha Gam Shnehem. It means that a person, let's say a woman is zona, a woman is a prostitute, and she gets paid for her services. She can't, let's say someone gives her an animal in exchange for her services. That's what we find early in the Chumash with the Tosor of Yehuda. When he was with this zona, he didn't realize that it was his daughter-in-law Tamar. Anyway, he pledged to give her an animal. So let's say somebody gives a payment, he gives an animal. The zona could not then go ahead and use that animal as a korban to fulfill any promise that she had made to bring a korban. Apparently, that was done in some instances that the people would try to, you know, sort of, that's how the Ramban explains here. These people try to sort of expiate their sins by saying, look, and I may be doing something which is immoral, but I can get, I can put it to good use or whatever. So that's Eslan Zona. Also Mechir Kelev, money made from selling a dog. Anyway, there are various details about this, which are not what I want to go into this evening. I want to point out, though, that the Torah used the expression, Beis Hashem Alokecha, Lo Sovi Esnan Zona, Umechir Kelev, Beis Hashem Alokecha. And it says, because Kisovas Hashem Alokecha, right? Because Baruch Hu finds this abominable or repugnant. And, but the phrase Beis Hashem Alokecha is one of only a few places in the Torah that I know of. The Beis Hamikdash as a house, as a building, as a structure is referred to as such. We don't find the term Beis HaMikdash at all anywhere in the Torah. We do find Beis Hashem just in a couple of places. Aside from here, it appears in Parshas Mishpatim and in Parshas Kisi, so the same phrase, Reishis Bikur Ad Moshe Tovi, Beis Hashem Elokecha. Right? That's, you have to bring your Bikurim, Beis Hashem Elokecha. So in these places, and again here also, the Beis HaMikdash is referred to the place where the Korbanos are brought, where we go to visit, and so on and so forth, three times a year. So it's called a bias, right? It's called Beis Hashem, Beis Hashem. Now, other places we find referred to as a Makom HaShayivchar Hashem and so on, that's a more common phrase, but it's not usually called a bias, not usually called a structure, a house, except here it is. In fact, the Gemara in Avodah Zarah and Daf Mem Vav Mem Beis learns some dinim from the fact that it's Beis Hashem, that even it's not only that you can't bring money or items earned through these type of activities, through a zona, through selling a dog, as korbanos, but for other purposes in the Beis HaMikdash, also for building the structure, for building the building. So Beis Hashem really refers to a building. So I wanted to speak a little bit about this idea of the Beis HaMikdash being a Beis Hashem. It's a Beis, a Beis HaMikdash is the house of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, but there's really something very important about the location where the Beis HaMikdash is as well. That I'd like to speak about this evening. I said it's really only tangential to this parsha as it focuses on this word Beis Hashem, which is again a rare expression in the Torah. We find it more in Navi. Of course, we're saying now in the month of Elul and through Simchas Torah, through Shmita Teres, the Simchas Torah, we say the Mizmor LaDavid Hashem Ori after Shachris and after Ma'ariv, or some people after Mincha instead of Ma'ariv. Over there we say, right, Shifti Beveis Hashem. Achas Shalom Hashem also. Okay, Shifti Beveis Hashem. Oh, we have a psukim in Avi, Kumu and Allah, Beis Hashem. Samachti, Tillim, it says Samachti, Momerly, Beis Hashem, Nela. So it's not an unusual expression, but as I said, it only appears a couple of times in the Torah, including here in Parshas Kisetze. And the emphasis in these places seems to be on the bias, on the structure. That's really, if you had to ask somebody, what is the Beis HaMikdash? The Beis HaMikdash is a building. The Beis HaMikdash is a structure. But of course, we know that it's more than a structure. It's not just a building, but there's something about the place itself also. And in fact, we have a din that the Gemara mentioned a number of different places. We have an expression that, technically speaking, one can bring korbanos even with the bias itself is not there. Makriven, afal pisha ain shom bias. I'd just like to read to you a couple of passages I'm sorry, I don't have sheets this evening. Mitzvah Shem, next week, we'll resume with the sheets. But the Rambam writes in Hilchos Beis HaBechira, Parak Vav, Hilchos Beis HaBechira, the Rambam writes that the Kedusha of this place, the place has Kedusha, even the absence of the bias, even the absence of the building, the structure itself, of the Beis Hashem itself. Okay, and he writes at the end of Halacha Yud Dalet in Parak Vav, the Rambam writes, Bekdusha Rishona, Shekidsha Shlomo, Shehu Kidesh HaAzor of Yerushalayim L'Shaita V'Kidesh Osan L'Osin Lobo. That the sanctification that was done in the days of Shlomo HaMelech when he built the Beis HaMikdash and so on, this was done not only for that time, but for all time. It would last for all time as well. And in Halacha Tesvav, the Rambam writes, L'fichach makrivin ha-karbonos kulon, afo pi she'en sham bayis bonoi. Even though the building, the structure is not there, nevertheless, you can bring karbonas. You can eat, technically speaking, meat from karbonas there in the place where you would have been able to eat when the basement was standing, namely the Azorah, the courtyard. Okay, today there's a question where this is, but let's say you would know, right? You can eat in the Azorah. It's not surrounded by the mechitza, the walls of the Azorah, the western wall that we have, the coastal Moravi, is not the wall around the Azorah. Okay. And you can eat kachur kalam Yerushalayim and my sheni Yerushalayim and so on. And he says shekedusha rishona kitcher l'shaita v'kitcher v'asilavu. This original kedusha, this kedusha was sanctified in the days of Shlomo. Not only for that period of time, but for for future generations or for future times as well. And then the Rambam writes, now one can be puzzled about this, because after all, once the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed, so the Chora, what Kedusha does the place happen to have? So the Rambam says in the next halacha, just a moment, please. Yeah. The Rambam says in the next halacha, halacha tezayin, he says, "V'lama ani omer." Why do I insist that the mikdash Rishalayim shekedusha rishona kedushasan lasid lavo, as opposed, by the way, Eretz Yisrael, the rest of Eretz Yisrael, which we're not talking about right now, okay? But it's not the case. The rest of Eretz Yisrael. Why is it different here? So the Rambam writes because the kedusha. Lafisha kedushas hamikdash Yerushalayim ibn hashchina, ushchina ena betelam. That's the famous language. Now, the Rambam, the Rambam disagrees with certain things, but that's not the issue I want to focus on right now. But the Rambam has the expression that the kedusha is the of the Beis Hamikdash of that place is the kedusha of the Shechina, and that apparently is not dependent on the bias, even though the bias is called Beis Hashem in our pasuk and other psukim in the Torah. Nonetheless, it's really the Shechina, the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that gives this place its sanctity, and therefore Shechina ain't a betelem. That's the language of Rambam. The Shechina, you can never undo, so to speak, the Shechina. No conquest or destroyed the bias. The Beis Hashem was destroyed by the Babylonians, later by the Romans, but the bias itself, that can't be, I'm sorry, but the Shechina itself, that can't be done away with. That's how the Rambam writes. Now, this issue of whether the place still has Kedusha is relevant to a halachic issue that comes up nowadays. Is it permissible for a Jew, to walk in certain areas? The general practice is people don't go up, but some people do. I'm not passing on that shadow right now. I've never been up there, but some people do say it's okay in certain areas anyway that we know are not the Kodesh HaKadoshim, not the Kodesh. You don't have to be tar, but whatever, there are various rules. But anyway, that question relates to this. Lechor, according to the Rambam, the place retains its kedusha. Okay. However, one could make a case, as we'll see in a moment, a very interesting chiddush from Rav Elvel Soloveitchik, the Brisky Rav. Okay, who says that even if the kedusha of the place, still has its kedusha, and the makom stays, it's retained its kedusha, shchina in a betela. And nonetheless, one could argue that today it does not have that kedusha anymore. Okay, why not? Why not? Even according to the Rambam, it's not the shchina in a betela. So one could make the following case based on a very, very interesting idea, which I initially saw quoted from the Brisker Rav. Rambam Soloveitchik, that's brought in the Sefer Moedim Uzmanim. Rav Moshe Sternbuch, contemporary Talmud Chacham Eretz Yisrael, in the Sefer Moedim Uzmanim. This is in the Siman Shin Nun Aleph of Chelek Hei. Siman Shin Nun Aleph. And what he says in the Brisker Rav is, he says, I'm going to read the words. He says, Shamati b'shem mar hagon b'itzak zev Soloveitchik zatzal hagon b'ezin the brisk, right? They call him the Brisker Rav. This was the uncle of Rav Soloveitchik from YU. Okay. The Be'ina le'olamim beis hamikdash behar dafka. The beis hamikdash must be built to have it certainly full kedusha. The beis hamikdash must be dafka on a mountain, dafka on a har. It's not so much the bias then that's important, but rather the presence there of a mountain. And for that, we go back a little bit in history to the first time in the Torah that that place has significance. And that, of course, is in the end of Parshas Vayera, the Parsha of the Akedah, okay, where we find that Avraham Avinu, at the end of the Akedah, named this place Har Hashem, right? It says in Perek Chav Beis of Reishis Posuk Yudalid, it says, Vayikra Avraham Shem HaMokamo Hashem Yireh, okay, so the Akedah took place for sure on a mountain. In fact, at the beginning of that parsha, Pesuk Beis, that's Pesuk Yud Dalet at the end. But at the beginning of the Akedah, Kadosh Baruch Hu instructed Avraham Avinu, right? Behaleu Sham Leola Al Achad Hehorim Asher Omar Elecha. I want you to sacrifice your son Yitzhak on one of the mountains, which I will show you. So clearly, the idea of the mountain is important. And there's a fascinating Medrash Tanchuma. The Medrash Tanchuma at there in Parshas Vayera, at the end of Oz Chof Beis, I don't have it in front of me, I just put it away, but the Medrash Tanchuma says that basically, originally, the original, I guess we call it topography of that place, with Makom Mikdash, was that it was actually a low place, it was a valley, okay? And Avraham Avinu and Yitzhak were coming from Hebron, which is mountainous, and it said Vayaris Hamakom Merochok. They saw the place from a distance, so they actually saw it because they were higher up, and they saw it was originally a valley. But then a nace took place, or Kadosh Baruch Hu made some sort of a nace because he wanted to be Mashra Hashchina. He wanted Hashchina to rest Dafka on a high place. That's going to be the place where the Beis HaMikdash would be, and so on. And therefore, he did a nace, and all the hills and mountains in the area sort of climbed together, and around that valley got together, and they made the place into a mountain, so that the Mokom for the Shekhinah would be, a higher place, because that's Bakovedik for the king to be in a place that's higher, and the people can see it, and so on. That's the Medrash Tanchuma. That's what we called came. That's the Medrash Tanchuma said at the very end of Oz Chof Beis in Parshas Vayera, and that's why the place became known as Har HaMoriah, Shemiyiraso Shal Kadosh Baruch Hu Nasahar. Okay, it was from the from the fear of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the year of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that became a mountain. And apparently that's extremely significant to the point that the Brisker Rav, as we just saw, says that wasn't just true about the Akedah, but rather La'olam, the Beis HaMikdash, also has to be Dafka on a mountain. It says Har Hashem Yiroah. And there's a Pasuk in Tehillim, Parak Samech Ches of Tehillim, Pasuk Yud Zayin, it says, Ha'har Chomad Elokim L'Shifto. HaKadosh Baruch Hu desired that his Shekhinah should rest, it should live, so to speak, on a mountain. Okay? And the Brisker Rav pointed out there's a Tosefta in the end of the first parak of Brachas, Halacha Tes Zayin. The Tosefta quotes this Pasuk in Tehillim, Samaches Yud Zayin, right, Har Chomon Kim Shifto. And the Tosefta says that Ein HaShekhinah Choseres Ad Shetasahar. The Shekhinah will come back again only once it's a mountain. Okay, it says about this place, this is a question by the Girsa, what Pasuk is quoted as support for this. Some say that Pasuk is quoted is the one from Vayera, Bahar Hashem, Bahar Hashem Yirah. The version that we have printed in Tosefta, the back of the Gemara, is a Pasuk in the beginning of Eschanan, Dvarim Per Gimel Pasuk Afeya, Hahar HaTov HaZev Alavanon, which Rashi in the Chumash says is talking about the Yerushalayim and the Mokom Mikdash and so on. But anyway, and the commentaries on the Tosefta there in Brachos, the end of Perak Aleph, Alachat Tezayin, the Minchas Bikurim, which is printed on the page, and the Tosefta commentary from Cheska Abramsky, Chazon Yecheskel, both say the same idea that that the Shekhinah is there only, in other words, the when the place will become known as a mountain, become visible as a mountain, that's when the Shekhinah will be seen. So that's an idea of the significance of the Har, of the mountain. And the truth of the matter is, even though this is, Rav Sternberg is quoting this from the Briska Rav, and I'll read again what he writes. Again, this is in Moedim Zmanim Chelek Hei, Simen Shun Nun Aleph. He says, Behevi, according to talking about the Briska Rav now, Behevi Shadavar Mavur Lehedya Shekein B'Tosefta Sof Park Aleph the Brachas She'in HaShkina Chosea Sotoko Ad Shetehase Har Ayin Shom. And we'll come back to something else I think that's interesting about that in a moment. And he says, therefore, Behayom, Chorev V'Shomeim, below Nikar Har Klal. At least at one time, the place is destroyed, so it's not noticeable that it's an elevated area, that it's a mountain. It's not noticeable that it's a mountain. We'll come back to that point. And then Rav Sternberg adds, Ukidvar of Mavur, but Kiryas Sefer. Kiryas Sefer is from the Mabit, one of the earlier authorities, who wrote a commentary, among other works, wrote a commentary on the, from the Trani family, Okay, the Mabit wrote a commentary on the Rambam's Yad HaChazaka. And so there in Parag Vav of Hilchos Beis HaBechira, he has an expression, the Be'odo Har Hu the Kaddish. The sanctity is there when it's still called the mountain. And similarly, the Or Sameach discusses the following point on something Rambam mentions in Parag Vav of Hilchos Beis HaBechira, Halacha Yud. There, the Rambam mentions that, you know, one can expand the boundaries of the Mikdash, of Yerushalayim, and so on. Those boundaries can be expanded. Okay, that's what the Rambam says in Parag Vav Halacha Yud, I'm quoting, they can decide they want to expand. You know, they have a lot of people, so they have an expansion committee. So the expansion committee, the Beis HaMikdash, wants to extend the Azara. You can extend the Azara till the end of the Har HaBayis. Okay, and Yerushalayim, Limshoch Chomos Yerushalayim ad Mokom Shiyirtzu. You can expand the boundaries of Yerushalayim until however you want. There's no limit. Okay, so clearly the Azara can only, the Beis HaMikdash compound can only be extended to the end of the Har, whereas Yerushalayim can go as far as they want. And the question is, where does that come from? But the Or Sameach explains, on this piece in the Parag Vav, Hilchos Beis HaBechira, Halacha, the Or Sameach explains because of the same idea. Since it's clear that the Beis HaMikdash has to be associated with a mountain, then the furthest they can go is the Har HaBayis, that mountain. The King of Yerushalayim is not, there's no such similar limitation, right? But the Beis HaMikdash has the limitation. You can only go as far as the mountain goes. That's what the Or Sameach says. And so therefore he too, in fact, to kind of prove the point or to bolster this idea in explaining this Rambam, the Sameach quotes the Targum, the Pasuk says in the end of the Shira, the end of Oz Yashir, right? We say it every day, Perak Tes Vav, Shmos Perak Tes Vav, Pasuk Zayin, Tiriyemo Vesito Ema Bahar Nachaloscha, Mochel Shifto Palat Hashem, Mikdash Hashem, Konon Yodecha, referring to the Beis HaMikdash, that the Targum has the expression there, Abitura, Dachsanta Bahar Nachlascha. That's where you make the Tura Dachsantacha Bahar Nachlascha, right? The mountain that you inherit. That's where you're Misakin Lebeish Shchintacha. That's where you have to fix the place. So, according to the Or Sameach, the Targum is already insisting of the importance of the mountain. It's in the Kriya Sefer, and the Briska Rav spells it out. So that's a very interesting idea that there has to be a mountain. And the Briska Rav is saying today, somehow that mountain terrain is not as clear. As far as why that is so, the Rav Sternberg in the same piece quotes from Rav Nosson Adler. Rav Nosson Adler was one of the Rebbeim of the Chassam Sofer, in Pressburg. So actually, he was the Chassam Sofer in Pressburg. The Rav Nosson Adler was in Frankfurt, okay? He was a Rav in Frankfurt, I think, until they found out they davened Nusuf Sfard. That didn't go over in a big way in Frankfurt, so they kicked him out. Anyway, but Rav Nosson Adler, going olam, so he quoted this Medrash Tanhuma, and he says, you see, from the Medrash Tanhuma, that when Avraham Avinu saw the place and so on, and all the mountains got together, so it was Taka Nes that took place that made this place into a mountain. And with that, he explains the following. You know, we had in the previous sedges that we're supposed to destroy the Avodah Zarah. We had an Akev, right? We're supposed to destroy, especially an Akev, we're supposed to obey Tabdun, in Ray it says obey Tabdun, so Kalma Komos and so on, right? And other such similar psukim here in Chumash Dvarim, that we're supposed to destroy the places where the idolaters, the old Avodah Zarah, worship their Avodah Zarah. And the Gemara says in Avodah Zarah, Mem, Hayam, and Aleph, that that every mountain, the Chol Har, every mountain, they high places. That's where they serve their gods, right? You go to the highest place, you build an altar there. So in every mountain they use for Avodah Zarah. That's the Mishnah of Avodah Zarah. And the Mem, Hem, and Aleph. So Tosis there quotes the Yerushalmi. Tosis says in 1 second, so how did they build the Beis HaMikdash in a place that used to be Avodah Zarah? So Tosis answers, no, that place was Alpi Novi. And Lechora, what Tosis means is that the Novi indicated that particular place was never used by the Ovdei Avodah Zarah. That's the simple pshat, I think. I think that's a simple pshat. Now, Tosis, that the Novi, you know, we had in the Parshas Rei, it says, L'shichno Sidrishu. You have to search out the Shechina. You know, where is it? Where is the place we find the Shechina? Tamokam Hashem Hashem. L'shichno Sidrishu Vasa Shama. So the Sifrei has a drosha, drosha Alpi Novi. Right, that's one of the things people raise the question: can you build a Beis HaMikdash today? Right, let's say we would be able to, we couldn't anyway. But that was, I mentioned this, right? That there was a plan that some Jews had in the end of the 1800s that they wanted to buy the Temple Mount from the Muslims. They figured they could convince them with enough money, they'd be able to convince them to move the mosque somewhere else, and we take over the Mokom HaMikdash. I mean, obviously, it wasn't going to happen. I think they want to speak to Rothschild and other wealthy Jews to support this endeavor. So Rav Tzvi Hirsch Kalischer, who was a posting rabbi at that time, wrote a sefer, Drisha Tzion, what halachic issues have to be overcome in order for us to open the Beis HaMikdash today? How do we know who's a real Kohen? Can we have the Big Day Kohuna? Do we have the Tcheles? What about Bar Aduma? What about Matzah Shekel? There's a whole bunch of different things. And a lot of the other... A lot of the other Gedolim in Europe at that time got involved. Kiva Eger writes about it. Nassim Silver writes about it. Rattlinger has Tshuvas Binyan Tzion. The first couple of Tshuvas deal with this subject. That's why he called this Tshuvas Binyan Tzion. So anyway, yeah, it didn't happen, as we know. But one of the objections that they point out is the Drosh Alpi Novi. You need a Novi. You can't figure out where the Mizbeach is until you have a Novi. You have to Mizbeach. The Rambam writes that the Mokum Mizbeach has to be very precise. So you have to know where the Mizbeach is put. We can't do that without a Novi. But anyway, getting back to our issue. So the you need a Novi, but what the Rav Nosson Adler said is there's something else. That this, what Tosis is saying is you need a Novi, not so much you need a Novi, but you need to know not just that the place was not worshipped by Avodah Zarah, why wasn't it worshipped? So he says, because that place became a mountain only through a nace. So it was, so to speak, set aside early. It was protected, kind of, okay? It was set aside, and the Novi can say exactly where this nace took place. And all the mountains came together and created this har by the Akedah. So that's where you need the Navi to show you exactly where that was. And, you know, therefore, it was Dafka done on that har. And that's what Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted Dafka, this place, for the Hashuras Hashchina. Okay. And that's also why in the Mishnah in Sanhedrin, the first parak, that long, long Mishnah, one of the things it says is Mosifin al Irva Azoros, right? That with the proper bezin, you can add to the city, you can add to the Azar, but you can't add the Harabais because the mountain has to be. That's all there is. So with all of this, it's clear that that the Mokom HaMikdash is not just a base Hashem, but it's Dafka got to be a place where there's a mountain. It's very interesting. The Briska Rav said, and this is also presented by Rav Schechter. Hold on one second, I lost the page. In the Sefer Nefesh HaRav, yeah, on page Kuf Samech, but he points out, I read from Rav Schechter, he says, Bizmiros Shel Shabbos, right? The Shabbos daytime Zmiros, Dror Yikra. We have a phrase in Dror Yikra, Elokim Tein Bamidbar Har. Elokim Tein Bamidbar Har. Right? So, what does that mean? Elokim Tein Bamidbar Har. Okay. Benira Lafarish, okay, I'm reading that from Nefesh HaRav, it's page Kuf Samech, okay, and the Sefer Nefesh HaRav. He said, "Venir lefarish, according to Rav Salvechik, the koy ahar abayis shebeis chibur hapiyot ahu hoya bechinas midbar shmam." When this poet, Pismon for Shabbos, written by, you can tell the acrostic Dunash. Every stanza, many of the stanzas, not all of them, dal above nun shen Dunash ibn Labrat, who was a Spanish python. Anyway, at the time the piyot was written, hoya bechinas midbar shmam vatal govo. That, you know, it had been leveled. And we have that expression in English too. The place was leveled. The place was destroyed, so it was leveled. It didn't have any of its height. But ain't near a cloud car. Lo'asid lovo, come back again, it'll be a mountain again. And he quotes that Tosefta at the end of the first parak in Brachas, right? Hahar, and then based on a pasuk in Tehillim, Hahar Chomer Elokim L'Shivto. Okay. Anyway, and Ein Ashkir Chashina Chazar Shata Sahar, and therefore that this Rav Shechter quotes this from Rav Gerelik, from Yerucham Gerelik, Zonal Bracha, who quoted it in the name of the Briskerov. So it all comes back to the same source, the Briskerov. That's Rav Sternberg mentioned it here also. And so on and so forth. So that's the idea. What we've established from all of this at this point is that part of the sanctity or the necessary piece of the Beis Hamikdash is the idea that it's on this, that it's on a mountain. Okay. If that's the case, then one can claim that even according to the Rambam, going back to that Rambam, we mentioned Perek Vav, Halacha Tes Vav, that Shechina Eina B'Teila, Eina Charam is Shechina Eina B'Teila. We could still say that the Kedushas Hamikdash, okay, and the Mokom Hamikdash, and the place of the Har HaBayis today, it doesn't have that original status of a Har. Okay, and therefore may not have its same kedusha. Okay, so that's an interesting chiddush. I think it's a big chiddush, but anyway, that's what he says. So a colleague of mine that pointed out that base question. I'm sorry, yeah. Is that a question?
Oh no.
Arsina does not have kedusha because that's a pasuk in the Torah. First, I had to separate and get off of Har Sinai, right? They weren't allowed. Vigbalta, they're in the subsequent Parshas Yisro. It says Vigbalta, so you have to set boundaries so that people shouldn't go up, and only some people go up part of the way, only Moshe went all the way up. But once they sound the shofar that the Gilishkin is over, then Har Sinai lost its Kedusha. Har Sinai has no historical interest in song, but has no Kedusha. It was only Kaddish for that small period of time. Okay. Now, anyway, a colleague of mine pointed out an interesting, once you accept this idea of the, that's what we wanted to bring out tonight. It's Matim again, you know, for these weeks that are weeks of Nechama from the Tisha B'Av, we're still in the middle of the Shiva Nechemta, 7 weeks between Tisha B'Av and Rosh Hashanah. We can understand something. We actually spoke about this, last summer, around Tisha B'Av time. You know, the Mishnah, in Maseches Tainis, tells us on Daf Chav, the Mishnah is really on, the Mishnah starts on Chav Tes and goes over to Chav Vav Amud Beis. So the Mishnah says, Chamisha Dvarim Iros Avosenu, Vishivosa Betamas, Vishamisha Betishabo. For our purposes, the Mishnah says five things happened to the Jewish people on Tishabo. Right, and that's on Amud Aleph and Chav Amud Beis. You mentioned what they are, but Tishabov Nigzar Al Roseinu Shalikon Solar Shalichnas Solaritz. Right, the Gzeir is passed; they wouldn't be allowed to enter into Eretz Yisrael. One, okay. Becharav Habayis Barishona, the first base having destroyed, Ubashnia in the second. Benilka Da Beitar, the great city of Beitar, where many Jews lived, was destroyed. And then it says Venechersha Ha'ir, Venechersha Ha'ir. The city was plowed over. What does that mean, v'nechresha ha'ir? What does that mean, the city was plowed over, and what's added by that, obviously you can see where I'm going, but what's added by that, okay? So it's interesting, the Tiferes Yisrael, and Yachin on that mission in Tainus, Paragdal Mishnah Vav, Os Mem Ches, what is v'nechresha here referring to? So he writes that it's she'achar churban bayis rishon. He's talking about after the first base hamikdash destroyed, Haisa Eretz Yisrael Midbar Shmama Nun Beis Shanim. The whole Eretz Yisrael was a desolate, leveled out area, destroyed area for 52 years. Yerushalayim Atzma Nases Shovel Adama. The city was, I say, literally leveled. Right? That's the expression, you're leveled. It was so destroyed that it was simply leveled. Okay? Kesada Harusha, just like a plowed field. That's what the Tiferes Yisrael says is mentioned or is stated by or is meant by the idea of Nechresha Ir. So he says it's talking about after the Korban Bayis Rishon. The Gemara that he's referring to is in Yuma Nun Darab and Aleph, Vatanya 54, Nun Darab and Aleph, Vatanya, Rabbi Huda Omer, Chamishim Ushtaim Shana Lo Avir Yish Behuda, and quotes Psukim, okay, that nobody came to Shalayim and so on. You couldn't hear any, no people, no traffic, and so on and so forth for 52 years. So that was talking about after the Churban of the first Beis Hamikdash. That's the pasuk in Yirmiyahu. Doesn't say there 52 years. With Yirmiyahu Perek Tes, which is a haftarah of Tisha B'Av morning, Perek Tes, pasuk Tes, Alaharim Esa B'chi will cry on the mountains and so on and so forth. When a pasuk Yud, when Asati Yisushalayim Legalim Ma'on Tanim V'Sari Yehuda Atein Shmon B'Leyoshed, the whole place will be destroyed. Now the opening phrase is Alaharim Esa B'chi. Rashi there in Yirmiyahu Perek Tes pasuk Tes says Alaharim Al Churban Aharim, the destruction of the mountains. What does it mean, the destruction of the mountains? Right. So I think what the Tiferes Yisrael is getting at, okay, is that maybe that's what the Gemara quotes this pasuk. Gemara quotes this pasuk, and Rashi says how it comes out to 52 years. Rashi there, Divim Asa Chamishim Shtaim Shana, and Yuman and Dalam and Aleph has the whole Cheshbon, I get 52 years, because after that they got permission to come back and so on. It gives you a whole Cheshbon, which is not our topic now. But anyway, the place was destroyed and so on. Now, so according to him, that's what's, according to the Tiferes Yisrael, based on a Gemara Numa, that's what's meant by Nechresh Shahir. Okay. However, that's not what appears in the Gemara, because the Gemara, that Mishnah is again on Chav Vav in Tainus. The Gemara in Tainus, Chav Tes Amar Aleph, says the following: Nechresh Shahir, Tanya, Kishacharav or Kishacharash Turnus Rufus Es Ahechol Nigzor Gzera Al Rabban Gamliel Lahariga. So again, I'm not going to the details of that story because we spoke about it once before. Okay, but when Turnus Rufus, okay, Turnus Rufus, who was a contemporary of Akiva, we're talking about now after the Korban by Yesheni, some years after the Korban by Yesheni, when he, an expression of the Gemara, Kishachorash, when he plowed over the Mikdash, at that same time there was a decree that Rabban Gamliel was going to be executed, and then somebody came somehow they tipped him off and so on. Anyway, so he wasn't executed, but be that as it may, this, Rabban Gamliel and so on and so forth, again, the whole question, as we discussed then, which Rabban Gamliel are we talking about? There were two Rabban Gamliels. But again, this is talking presumably after this, but certainly it's talking about the period of the second Beis HaMikdash and the destruction, the time of the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash. Okay? And that's a simple reading of the Gemara. In fact, there's a pasuk in Micha, Paragimel, pasuk Yud Beis. It says, Lochein Ba'a Biglalchem. Lochein biglalchem tzion soda techoresh Yerushalayim iyantiyev harabayis lebamos yor. In describing the utter destruction, the levering, tzion will be like a field, Yerushalayim destroyed, and the harabayis will be like a forest and so on. Okay, and Radak there in Micha says, Karakimel Pasigud Beis, Lochein biglalchem pirish ba'avur avanosechem, because of your sins and so on and so forth. So tzion soda techoresh. Kolomar kisoda techoresh. Buildings left, and the place will be flattened, and everything will be destroyed. Okay, that's how the Mefarshim explain. Now, so the pashtus is there then, and we won't discuss it first of all now. Although we could say simply, because he points like Mar Yuma, it also may have happened after the first Beis HaMikdash. But in any event, that's the idea of Nechresh Ha'ir. Okay, if you take a look in the Rambam in Perek Hey of Hilchas Tanios, says, I'll find it now here just a moment. Just a second. Okay, I don't have it in front of me now, I'm sorry. But the Rambam also says in Perek Hey of Hilchas Tanios, here it is. Perek Hey of Hilchas Tanios, the Rambam writes as follows. He talks about all the days, Alach HaBeis and so on. Alach Gimel, he writes, Tishabab Chamisha Dvarim, Irubo, and explains what they were. Nigzvoi Sobam Rishon Yikonsul Arts, the Chorav Abayis Brishon Rishniyah, Benilkar Yigdola Beitar, where many thousands and tens of thousands of Jews lived, and they had the Melech Gadol, that's the Dimu Ko Yisrael, Gdola Chomishu Melech HaMashiach, right? That's the Bar Kokhba. Anyway, and then it says, and finally, Ubo Bayama Muchan Poranos, Chorash Turnus Rufus Harosha Mimalche Edom, the Roman official, in fulfillment of that pasuk tzion soda techorish, right? So that pasuk tzion soda techorish, Micha, the Rambam links up with the idea of nechresh ha'ir. Okay, The question is, what does that add, so to speak? Why is that considered a fifth thing that the city was plowed? I mean, we already said the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed the first and the second time. So now he also plowed over the city. Okay, and the Rambam says, because the Pasuk said, Tzion Tzoreh Techoresh. Okay, I mean, you know, but why is that like a, considered a separate thing? The Chorah that's connected to the Chorban, right? I mean, you know, what exactly is added by Tzion Tzoreh Techoresh, Nechosh, or Ir, and so on? Okay, so you could say, you know, Lamaisa, it was a worse Chorban. It wasn't just the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, but the place was leveled. After all, there's a famous Pasuk in Tehillim. Some people say this regularly, you know, on Shabbos. We say a Shir Malas right before benching. Some people, many Siddurim print it. I don't think people follow it too often today necessarily, but there's some people who say the Piyot or the Kapitel Tillim Al Naros Bovel. Al Naros Bovel. So until it, that comes from Tillim Kuf Lamed Zion. So there in Tillim Kuf Lamed Zion, it says in Posuk, hold on. Yeah, in Pasuk Zion, it says Zechor Hashem Livnei Edom. Okay, you know, we appeal to God's Baruch to remember what the Bnei Edom, Romans, right? Es Yom Yerushalayim, the day they destroyed Yerushalayim. Omrim Oru Oru Ad Hayisodba, right? They want to destroy it completely, right? Obliterate, uprooted Ad Hayisodba to the very foundations of the city. Okay, and the Gemara in Gittin on Daf Nun Zayin and Bay says Amar Huda, Amar Rav that the Bayis Sheni is when that was fulfilled. Ora Dafka the Bayis Sheni was when that concept of Ora, the complete obliteration, the complete leveling of the city took place. Okay, now with the Chiddush that Rav Elvis Halevichik said, and we saw there are some Samech and maybe the Rabbit said it also. Now we can say that why Nechosh HaOir is considered a separate and distinct one of the things that happened on Tisha B'Av was not just that it was a further intensified and it was the place was obliterated, but rather that Al Pi Din, Al Pi Halacha, okay, there was a second level of Churban, because when the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, to come full circle, when the Beis Hamikdash, what was destroyed? The bias, okay, the building was destroyed, but the place still had Kedusha, right? Again, the Beis Hashem, that's referred to in our Pasha, again, one of the few places in the Torah. The Beis Hashem was destroyed. But the place, the place, the Makom Mikdash still had Kedusha. Okay? But now, if we assume, like we've been saying, like the Brisker Rav's Kiddush, that in order to have Kedusha, the place has to have the status of a Har, and now they flattened it out, Tzion Tzodet Nechoresh, right? Or Nechosh HaOir, the whole place was leveled, so you don't have any more the status of a Har. So that's the case. This wasn't just a, you know, okay, stama further intensifications. Al pi halacha, now the kedusha of the place has been removed. You follow? In other words, it was a halachic change as well. It wasn't, before it was just the bias that was destroyed. Okay? But now it was more than the bias. The place was leveled. So therefore, it loses status, quote unquote, as even having the potential, if you will, of a bias. Of even having potential of there being a bias right now. Okay, that's the point. And that was a far greater, you know, so to speak, source of avelas. It doesn't have that kedusha. Okay. Now, one could argue that, you know, maybe that to justify that the first Yisrael, yeah, it happened in the time of the first Beis Hamikdash also. The place was destroyed, but it wasn't Aru Aru Adi Yisod, like the Gemara in Gittin says, that's only the Bayis Sheni. It wasn't completely flattened. If it was, actually, there would have to have been a new sanctification of the place in the days of Ezra, which you won't find that there was. Okay? Now after the Bayis Sheni, after you've obliterated the status of the mountain anymore and doesn't have any more Kedusha, okay, so then it's, what I'm saying is that after the first Beis Hamikdash, maybe it had some, you know, some still had some sort of Kedusha because it wasn't completely leveled. But now that it was completely leveled, that's why we have, now this different status, and that's why it's considered another level of destruction. It's not just And it was, even after the bayis was destroyed, maybe the place still had a mountain, so it still had some kedusha. Now it lost its kedusha entirely. So that's one, I think, interesting ha'ara that emerges according to this approach. Okay, and that's where we have to wait now. Lasid Lavo, they'll become a full mountain again. In the meanwhile, perhaps we can't build the Beis HaMikdash ourselves. Okay, so that's one ha'ara that this friend of mine suggested. Another thing to understand, based on this idea of the importance of the mountain, is the famous Gemara that appears at the end of Maseches Makos. And we all know this Gemara. Okay, the Gemara at the very end of Maseches Makos, Chav Dalet Aleph, we all know the Gemara, right? That the Rabbi Akiva and his colleagues were walking past the place of the Makom HaMikdash, right? And let's read the Gemara inside. I mean, as I said, even though we all know it, it starts on Amud Aleph, it goes over to Amud Beis, right? Ukvar Hoya, Rabbi Akiva, Ukvar Hoya, Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Akiva, Malkin, Baderech. So then they heard one thing, and then towards the end of Chavdan Rebbeis, it says the following, right? Where is it now? Shuv Pam Achas Hayolim Yerushalayim. These same rabbis are going to Yerushalayim. Kevin Shigiu Laharat Sofim Korbig Dam. When they came to Mount Scopus, Harat Sofim, where now the Hebrew University, right opposite where they could see the place, Korbig Dam, they tore their garments. Everybody tore their garments. Kudav Akiva. After all, there's no Beis Hamikdash. However, Rabbi Akiva, right, when the foxes were running around, they saw from the distance foxes running around the site of the Beis HaMikdash. They all wept, and Rabbi Akiva smiled. So, why are you smiling? Why are you crying? Why are you weeping? So, this is not even a non-Kohen could walk in, and now the animals roaming around. How can we not weep? He quotes a pasuk. Pasuk is Yeshaya Perakes Pasuk Beis. Vo'ida li edim nemonim as Uriah Hakom is a chayov ben yivrechia. I know everyone knows this Gemara because a lot of people make siyumim on Maseches Makos. Always reading this, right? But let's look at it from a different angle now. It says Vo'ida li edim nemonim as Uriah Hakom is a chayov ben yivrechia. Okay, that's a pasuk they say in Yeshaya. Okay. Parakhes Pasuk Beis. All right, now, as Rashi there explains, as the Gemara elaborates, these two people whom Yeshaya calls Edim Nemonim, right, Edim Nemonim, Uriah HaKohen and Zechariah Ben Yerechiel, did not live at the same time. Rashi and Yeshaya Parakhes Pasuk Beis, Dilma Aschavo, Edeli points out that Uriah HaKohen was killed by Hilyakim, that's in the Bayis, time of the Bayis Rishon, okay, the time of the Bayis Rishon. And and Zechariah lived in the Bayis Sheni, right? Zechariah lived in the time of the Bayis Sheni. So back to the Gemara. So Gemara says, "Kimah inyan Uriah Eitzel Zechariah Uriah Mikdash Rishon Zechariah Mikdash Sheni." So what's the connection? Ella Tola Hakosin the Vosso Shal Zechariah and Vosso Shal Uriah. The pasuk is linking the Nevuah of Zechariah with the Nevuah of Uriah. Uriah is the one who had that prophecy. Okay, that's the prophecy of Nechreshahir. Right? And Zechariah says there'll come a time where old people and young people once again populate the streets of Yerushalayim, and little kids will be running around and so on, and people will be walking with their canes, right? The beautiful, beautiful pasuk, right? Oh, Jeshua is a canon, Yerushalayim, right? Let's read the whole pasuk because it's a very, very beautiful pasuk that I printed here. Maybe I didn't. Okay, I don't have it in front of me, but a very beautiful pasuk, right? There'll come a time where there'll once again be, here it is. Yeah, Chayat Perakhez, pasuk Dalet. Komar Shen Sokos. Oh, Yeshu is a canis, of Yerushalayim. Be'ish Mishanto be'odom or Yamin. There'll be people with canes because they'll be lived to such an old age. Pasukei Rechovas Ha'ir in the streets of the city, Yimalu Yilodim Yilodos Misachakim Rechovas. The streets will be filled with young boys, young girls running around and playing in the streets. Okay. Anyway, beautiful thing. So Rekiva says back to Gemara, the very end of Makos Chavdalam Beis. Ha'iz Ad Shalom Iskaiman of Oso Shoria. Ha'iz Misyare Shalom Iskaiman of Oso Shazachaya. Until the Nevu of Uriah, I saw it came true. I was unsure whether the Nevu of Zachariah would come true. Okay, but now that I saw the Nevuah of Uriah, right, that the city has been leveled and there are, you know, animals running around, it's, you know, I've seen it come true. So now I know the other Nevuah will come true too. So they all acknowledge, Akiva, you've comforted us with this, you know, with this analysis. Okay, so that's the Gemara. So a number of questions. Again, it's a famous Gemara, but there were a number of questions on that Gemara. Okay, first of all, what exactly is this connection, you know, between, again, Yeshaya links it up. So one problem that Tosis raises is that the Pasuk, the Tosis there in Makas Chavdal Beis, says, he says, I quoted the Pasuk earlier. Uriah is not the one who said that Pasuk, Sion Sore Techarish. Okay, it's a side problem, but it's an interesting problem. It's actually a pasuk in Micha, like right before. Micha paragimel pasuk at base. Lachen beglacham tziot tzarei techarish. So it's not Uriah who mentioned that pasuk to begin with. It's a Tosfos. What's going on here? Kimrosa shom Micha b'yesh lomar. The somech ahad isim sefer yemeo. Shenisna beyemeo pornos niskabs akonim inu lahargum reish shahaya medaber pornos. Tzarmol amasorim enol amaskim in shari Micha. Right, there's a link somehow, and Uriah wasn't killed, and Micha wasn't killed. Anyway, Tosfos sort of answers how the pasuk is linked to the Nevuah of Uriah, even though he didn't say it. Okay. And that was a side point. But we have to wonder, what did Rabbi Akiva mean exactly? Okay? What did Rabbi Akiva mean when he said, I wasn't sure that the Nevuah of Zechariah, that Od Yesh was a candidate, the children and the old people and young people will once again be in the streets of Yerushalayim, I wasn't sure that would come true until I saw the other Nevuah come. What did that even mean? What, Rabbi Akiva was doubting the Nevuah? He said, it's not true? Right, that's an interesting question. So I thought maybe we could answer one way, and that's not what I emphasize tonight. But we could answer that perhaps he thought it was an allegory. It wasn't going to be literal. Maybe it was some kind of an allegory. But that's not the answer. The Aruch Laner addresses this question. Okay, the Aruch Laner is that so Yaakov Ettlinger and the Binyan Sion, I quote earlier, Yaakov Ettlinger said his commentary on the Gemara is called Aruch Laner. It's not on every Masechta, but it's on a number of Masechta, including Makos. So his commentary on that Gemara. He says, Obiyoser Yesh. First of all, why did he pick these Nevuahs altogether? There are plenty of Nevuahs that he could have picked. Why Dafka these Nevuahs? Obiyoser Yesh is more, Masha, Omer Akiva, Haisa Misyarish, on his time in the Boss of Sahaya. The Chichas and Shalom, the Stapik, Bekim, Dover, Dvar Hashem, Aiden Nevuah, was Akiva doubting the words of the Navi? It's impossible. Akiva was not sure that it was going to come true. He wasn't that sure. Till I saw A come true, I didn't think B would come true. B is a Nevuah, right? The Nevuah of Zechariah. So he wasn't sure it would come true. What does it even mean? Right? He was doubting the Nevuah of the Dvar Hashem. Abel Yesh Lomar, he says as follows. Uriah Nibbe B'Bayis Rishon. Uriah, as we saw before, lived in the time of the Bayis Rishon. So Mistomeh, his Nevuah of Churban, of Tzion Tzadet Techarish, was talking about what? Was talking about the Bayis Rishon being destroyed. He was a Navi in the time of the Bayis Rishon. Okay, so Mistami was talking about the Bayis Rishon being destroyed. So Mistami and Nevoasa Hoysa al Churban Asamuk, the Hainu, Sheikhariv HaBayis Rishon, Asher Omad, okay, and it'll be destroyed in Mos Yar and so on and so forth. Okay, now, Zechariah, Shenibe Bishas HaChurban, Zechariah was a Navi who lived in the time in between, the Bayis Rishon and the Bayis Sheni. He was one of the last three Navim we have, Chagai, Zechariah, Malachi, the end of Treyoser. So he says, Dibre Nechama, O Jeshu's Kainim and Mistama, Nibel's Man, being in the Bayis Sheni. What was he predicting? What was Zechariah, the Navi Zechariah predicting? Just as Uri was predicting, you know, disaster, leveling the city after the Korban Bayis Rishon, because that's when he lived in the time of the Bayis Rishon. So just like he was predicting the leveling of the city at the time of the Korban Bayis Rishon, so Mistama Zechariah, who lived, you know, before the Bayis Sheni was built, when he was talking about Od Yesh was the Kanim is Kanos and so on, you know, in the streets of Yerushalayim, so Mistama talking about that during the Bayis Sheni, the Beis HaMikdash will be rebuilt, and during that time, you know, okay, so Mistama Nibe Alzman Binyan Bayis Sheni Hakar of Lovo. And that's how Mistama, most of the words that the Nevi'im had of Nechama, of comfort, we're talking about the period of the Bayis Sheni. Okay, Mistama. Okay, now, so he says, with this in mind, one could, 1 second. So he said, this is what Rabbi Akiva wasn't sure. Rabbi Akiva now, remember, Rabbi Akiva lived after the Churban Bayis Sheni. Okay? Rabbi Akiva lived after the Churban Bayis Sheni. So the Nevuah of Zechariah, which Lechora was talking about during the Bayis Sheni period, was now undone. Would it happen again? That, says the Aruch HaNer, what Rabbi Akiva was Mesupik about. Not that he was Mesupik, the Nevuah had come true. After all, they built the second base of Mikdash and flourished for a while, and everyone lived happily for a while. Right? And I had old people and young people and so on and so forth. So Nevuah of Zechariah came true. What Rabbi Akiva was wondering, was that a one and out? In other words, now that the second base of Mikdash is destroyed, is that it? That's what Rabbi Akiva was concerned about. Okay? So he said, that's what he was unsure. But now that he saw that the Nevuah of Uriah, right, in the Pasuk of Micha, Sion Sadeh Techarish, came true a second time, right? The second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed also. Well, now that that came true a second time, I have every reason to believe, says Rabbi Akiva, that what? That the Nevuah of Zechariah will come true a second time as well. In other words, there'll be a Bayis Shlishi and so on. And that's why Akiva Necham Tana, Akiva Necham Tana. You follow? That's what the Rauch HaNer says. In his words, he says, Valkain Hamida Khajbogal Aidim Uri Zakhar, the Khajatira Shinavu Zum is came from Khurban by Shani, right? The Navu of Zakhar was came to a second time. Nakushair, right? Then Taidu Shadain Lachem Lakabosh at the sky and Bachem Nabu Zakhar a second time also. Is there Lushan Aidim Namonim and so on? And Velachach Lachain Kishrabi Kiba Ain of Kim Nabu Zuria. Okay, Shosak Shehaven Shabbosa Haralam Hakadosh Baruch Hu Kiyam Nevuah Zechariah. That's how the Aruch HaNer learns it. Okay, I think a very beautiful and interesting pshat. However, we could learn it based on what we said tonight. That's Aruch HaNer. That's not our way. That's not the way I want to focus on tonight. I just think it's so kedai to see. It explains beautifully what Rabbi Akiva saw and what you know how he comforted them. But coming back to our issue, okay, if it's true that you need the mountain, okay, you need the mountain, you need the topography of a har in order for the Beis HaMikdash to be, okay. So if it's true that after the Bayis Rishon, you mamish had Nechresh HaYir, it was mamish level, okay. So it simply was completely, you know, it was not a mountain anymore. Okay, which is like the Tiferes Yisrael we saw earlier said. So then the truth of the matter is, if the Briska Rav and those people are right, then the Kedusha of Shlomo had been removed. But the Rambam says it was not removed. Kedusha of Shlomo was, you know, was Lasid Lavo. Okay, so therefore, according to the Briska Rav and perhaps these others, you have to say that, in, like we said before, that by the first Beis HaMikdash, maybe you never had Nechresh HaYir. Okay. Yes, like the first y'all said, it was desolate for a while, like Gemara says, Numa, but it wasn't completely destroyed. It wasn't a complete leveling of the city. Okay. Which is what the Tiferes Yisrael actually says. Okay. If you look carefully at the words of the Tiferes Yisrael, you know, he falls short. The Tiferes Yisrael, again, is in that Mishnah in Numa, in Tainus. Okay. In that Mishnah in Tainus, in Os Memches, he writes, "She'akar churban bayis rishon haisa eretz Yisrael midbar shmama, and Yerushalayim atzma nasis shavel adama kesara charusha." But maybe not the makom mikdash. I'm not sure if you can work this into the Tiferes Yisrael. But if you learn not like the Tiferes Yisrael, that the whole idea of Nechresh HaYir was not the desolate. That's the Gemara talks about the place being desolate. That's fine, but it wasn't leveled. Okay, it wasn't leveled. So now, if that's the case, the Kedusha of Shlomo HaMelech remained. It was never undone, okay? Because you still had the Tzura of Ahar. It wasn't until the Bayis Sheni. So Lemaisa, if that's the case, the Nevuah of Uriah, of Tzion Tzareh Techaresh, actually did not come true. Even though he may have lived during the Bayis Rishon, it did not come true completely until the Churban Bayis Sheni. Okay? And that's what Rabbi Akiva noticed. Okay, that the Nevuah of Uriah was not fulfilled after the Churban Bayis Rishon, was fulfilled after the Churban Bayis Sheni. Okay, which again is a simple reading of the Gemara in Tainus. That was in days of Turnus Rufus, right? That you had Nechresh HaYir, and that's what the Rambam says, quoting that pasuk, Tzion Tzareh Techaresh. There you had the complete total leveling, and therefore the complete removal of the Shekhinah, okay? And therefore, since the mountaintop was destroyed, okay, so now you had a complete leveling. So therefore, now we can understand what Rabbi Akiva was saying. When Rabbi Akiva saw the complete fulfillment of the Nevuah of Uriah, which hadn't been fulfilled yet, okay? It was only fulfilled then in the Bayis Sheni. So then he realized that the Nevuah of Zechariah, which is tied, the Nevuah of Uriah also hadn't yet come true. Maybe we could even suggest in the same way. Maybe in the Bayis Sheni, look, there were troubles in the Bayis Sheni, right? We didn't have independence and so on. Maybe the old Jesus was a Kano, was a Kanos and so on in Yerushalayim. Maybe that didn't fully come true either. So therefore, Bekiva saw that in the Bayis Rishon, the Nevuah of Uriah didn't completely come true. It didn't completely come true until the Bayis Sheni. Okay. So that's the case. He was convinced that the Nevuah of Zechariah, the positive Nevuah of Zechariah, also didn't come true in the time of the Bayis Sheni. It's going to come true in the time of the Bayis Shlishi. It wasn't until the Bayis Sheni that the Churban was utterly complete. Necher Shahair, like the Mishnah says, okay? Sion Sara Techarish. So therefore, the Geula, so to speak, or the Nechama of Zechariah did not yet take place. And that's what Bekiva says, it is yet to happen. And that's what Bekiva meant by tying these Nevuahs together. Okay? And therefore, that's what they said, Akiva Nechamtanu, Akiva Nechamtanu. I would just add to conclude, and then to come, we started, we're talking about the Beis Hashem here in, you know, by Eslan Zonam, Mechir Kalab, Beis Hashem. So it's not the bias, but the mountain. If that's the case, one could argue, like those Rishonim who say that the Bayis Shlishi is going to have to come down. That's a whole big question. Who's going to build the Bayis Shlishi? We talked about it a different time. But some hold that the Bayis Shlishi is going to come down from heaven because you need some sort of a nace to make it back into a har. Just like the original nace in the Medrash Tanchuma and Parshas Vayera, we need a nace to make it back into a mountain once again. It's only once we make it back into a mountain that we're going to have that full Kiddush of Yerushalayim return. And we hope it'll happen. B'mehar v'yameinu. Okay. Wish everybody a good Shabbos.
Shabbos, Rabbi Shkoch. Thank you. Okay.